Welcome to the Sports Field Management Podcast. I'm John Kmita, Associate Publisher and Editorial Brand Director for Sports Field Management Magazine. I'm joined by Robert Augsdorfer, Assistant Editor of Sports Field Management. Robert also oversees our social media channels, so with that in mind, for this episode of the podcast, Robert is delving into the topic of social media tips for sports field management professionals. Hey, Robert, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's in store on this edition of the podcast?
Thanks, John. I'm joined on this edition of the podcast by Meg Kruger, content specialist with Pioneer Athletics and runs the Women and Turf team social media accounts. Meg was a guest on a previous installment of this podcast and also presented at the 2024 SFMA conference in Daytona and on the topic of how branding can impact your crew, career, and community. Meg covered a lot of content in that session that we didn't explore in the last edition of the podcast, so I invited her back on to discuss how sports field managers can use social media to build their brand.
That's awesome. I look forward to hearing what you and Meg had to discuss and learning a little bit more on the social media topics that we didn't get into last time I spoke with Meg. So with that in mind, everyone, please welcome to the podcast, Meg Kruger.
So Meg, welcome back to the Sports Field Management Podcast. For those who don't know, Meg just did a presentation at SFMA conference in Daytona about social media and all that good stuff. Meg, if you want to give us like a quick recap of your presentation for those who weren't there and your overall experience in Daytona.
Definitely. So yeah, this was my second time doing the topic. I was able to kind of workshop it at the OTF conference in December 2022, maybe. And then I had a baby, my second son, and then I came back, brought it back to Daytona, and it was all about visibility matters. And, you know, what that means is how social media or just your physical visibility presence within your community can really impact your day-to-day on the job. So how being present and being visible in the industry, in your community, can help not only you and your career, but your crew and overall how you interact with your user groups. And so it was definitely exciting to have people there to listen to it. My slides did go out like 7 slides in that I don't think I've ever had that type of nerves, like all these eyeballs looking up at you and you're like, oh, well, all of my slides were photos. And if I can't show examples, then this kind of dies. Luckily, you know, I had friends in the audience and my boss and they all jumped to action, brought it back to life. We recovered.
Yeah, I was in the audience too, and you did a good job of keeping up with your presentation there. So,
oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm sure, as you can imagine, I was dying on the inside. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Yep.
But really, how I formatted that one was like 5, you know, main takeaways for people, or 5 like strategies, or you know, rough outlines that they could potentially put into practice. And you know, that was all about. All of that fit under this umbrella of branding yourself. So the first one was, you know, creating a social portfolio and how like your social media pages can really just be a living, breathing resume for you. Even if you're happy where you are, it's great to have that catalog of your achievements so that, you know, if you have a bonus conversation or you want to, you know, show someone where resources were being allocated, you can just go right back to that updated resume or portfolio of sorts and show them like, oh, on this day we did this, or this is how we utilized the new dirt that we bought for the baseball field. So really utilizing social media to kind of, you know, make your jobs easier. That's how we kicked off the presentation. And then I talked a lot about tapping into the power of Turf Twitter. And I think I said in my talk, like I refuse to call it Turf X because that just does not roll off the tongue like Turf Twitter did.
I refuse to call it X. So.
It's silly. I'm sure there was some thought behind it, but it just, they missed the mark in my opinion. Yep. On that one.
Yep.
So talked about that and how everything that we love about this industry, the willingness to share, the networking, that camaraderie is reflected on Turf Twitter. And how if you're not utilizing it as a turf manager, you're really just denying a huge resource that you could have. Talked a lot about social media as a recruiting tool. And, you know, my prime example of this is when you say my job title, you know, it's a content lead for a paint company in Cleveland, Ohio. Like, that if you were to just see that on Indeed, I'm not sure many people would understand all the things that are involved in this industry. And the same thing is like game day crew member for, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals or whatever. But if you could go on to the Cincinnati Bengals like crew profile and see like, oh my gosh, like this is what they're doing before game day, or this is what they do in the off season, which, you know, that's a term that's hilarious at this mm-hmm. point for our industry, and really get an idea of like that living, breathing day to day and how cool your job could potentially be, aside from just that line that's like, oh, you know, she works at a paint company in Cleveland, Ohio. So that's another whole thing there. I pointed out a bunch of people that do a flawless job at that. And I can talk a little bit more about that as we dive deeper here. Another one was justifying your bottom line and how social media and having a visible presence within your community really is going to help move money around. It's going to help you anytime you want to have a talk about budgets or labor or, you know, getting resources for you to just do your day-to-day work. You know, having that visibility and having people that understand what you do and why you do it, the science behind it, the data points that you're able to collect, all of that is going to help you, you know, really make a case for yourself and your crew. And then the last one was combating misconceptions, which I think is the big one. You know, it's the branding tip that impacts the big three: your career, the people on your crew, and your community. Visibility directly combats misconceptions. You know, the more times that somebody goes to a game and sees the grounds crew out on the field before game time, or you know, during that, you know, fifth inning drag or whatever, you know, they might have more questions. But if you're already on social media and you have this presence and we're reaching more people beyond just our industry, you know, you're reaching the parent that has no idea which direction to push their kid in after high school, or you're reaching the, you know, the community member that every Saturday morning lets their kids ride their bikes around on the freshly dragged baseball field because they have no idea that somebody, you know, just spent the whole night prepping that field or whatever. Having that visibility, having that presence directly combats all those silly misconceptions we hear about our industry, you know, glorified grass cutters and things like that. So that's the quick synopsis. As you know, we're there, you know, I could talk for hours about this topic. It's something I'm super passionate about because it's such a low hanging fruit. Whether you're somebody that wants to post once a year or, you know, once a month or once a week, or you want to create a crew pro, like there's so many ways to enter the game here. There's so many low hanging, you know, fruit that you can just pick something and it might land with somebody. And that's visibility for not only you and your crew, but it's visibility for everyone in this industry. And like so many things in our industry, when one of us succeeds or one of us earns that seat at the table, you're just pulling out the chair for the next person to come along the way. So that's my spiel. And, you know, I will have the opportunity, I'm sure, to talk a little bit more about some of those details, but I'll let you get a word in now
since I just rambled
for the last 10 minutes.
You're good. I'm also gonna ask you about your experience outside of your presentation at SFMA, like basically just walked around Daytona. And then I know you guys had the whole setup on the show floor. Just tell me about your experience and with the rest of the show, basically.
Of course. You know, the national conference is something I look forward to from the minute I, you know, get on the flight home from the previous week. Like, it's so hard. Like when I tell my husband or other people or people that are not in this industry, they're just like, oh, it sounds like you're going on a work trip. And I'm like, no, like this is a reunion of all the people I, you know, have met over the last 5 years, all the friendships I've made. Everything that's brilliant about this industry is, you know, it finds a home for 1 week of the year and we all get to be together. It was a great time. Got to catch up with so many people. And what was also really cool is we actually hosted our live podcast at the booth during Daytona, which is, I believe, the third time we've done it, the second time I've done it. And we just had some brilliant people join us at the booth. You know, we did an entire recap of our time in Daytona as a podcast crew here with my co-host Weston and Chris. And we talked about just all the guests we were able to have. And then we've actually started to release those episodes. And just listening back to it, it's like you can feel and you can hear the energy that people have when they're at these conferences. Like, it's it revitalizes you. It sends you back on your way to go back to that day to day with new ideas, new perspective, and just like a new sense of appreciation for what we get to be a part of.
All right, so we'll just dive right into this. You definitely touched on Turf Twitter. I was wondering, like, your thoughts on the current state of Twitter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think with everything with social media, taking it with a grain of salt, there's going to be the good and the bad with it. I think being a part of this industry, you have an opportunity to engage with such a niche corner of the world on Turf Twitter. You know, something I'll say is I have like a profile that's the Pioneer Athletics profile. And then I have the Women in Turf profile that I run. And then I have my own personal like Pioneer Twitter. So the only people I follow are in this industry. The only people that follow me are in this industry. So I think I've saved myself from a lot of, you know, the negativity that can obviously come with social media because I've made like a conscious choice just to keep it professional. So, you know, for my own personal reasons, like I'm not posting on there about like my own opinions about how the world works, if that makes sense. And I think that that's, you know, an easy way to stay out of some of the negative conversations that obviously are going to happen no matter where we are in the world. But if you're somebody that likes to engage in different parts of social media, then it's just, you know, knowing what you're getting into. And of course, I think that there's definitely a lot more ads. Like when you're scrolling, it's like, oh, I can't really tell if this is an ad or if this is somebody's post. Like, so there's a lot of navigating that for sure. But trying to stay on a positive note, like I guess what I do is I look at it through rose-colored glasses, where when I see something that I really love, I engage with it, I retweet it, I like it, I share it. And if I see something I hate, I just scroll a little bit quicker past it. Yeah. Yeah, that's my very simple advice.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like I said, given the current state of Twitter, like, should like SFMs like be looking at using apps like the Meta apps, like Facebook, Instagram, Threads, or even the Meta Business Suite, even for like their crew accounts or whatever?
Sure. So my advice there is whatever feels authentic to you and whatever you are comfortable using is where you're going to have success. If you've never used Twitter or in the last year or so, you've come to hate it completely, then you're not going to have a good relationship with it. It's the same thing with like, if you have that kind of feeling about Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, like if you already are coming in with a negative taste in your mouth about the platform, or one has, you know, been created over however long, then you can find your community on the different platforms. I know for sure, like we have a Pioneers customer page that like does great on Facebook. It's just, that just happens to be where that audience is and where they feel comfortable sharing and how they feel comfortable engaging. I don't know if something like that would really be as successful on Twitter. And when I think about Instagram, like I think that's where a lot of the next generation is going to be found. Same with TikTok. So if you're somebody that's willing to dive into that and create that visibility for our industry on that platform, then we should all just be grateful to you, really. I mean, I think about Leah Withrow with the Reno Aces, what she's been able to accomplish with her videos. And she posts them on Instagram, she posts them on Twitter, she puts them on TikTok. And she'll tell you, like, the majority of the people commenting and engaging on those posts are not within the turf industry. They're, you know, they're pedestrians out in the regular world that are like, what is this and how do I get involved? So I don't think everyone needs to be everywhere. So if you hate TikTok and you're like, this is the bane of our existence, like, then don't go there. Like, no, you know, we want you to find a space that you feel like you can be authentic and you can have a positive experience with it.
So I was going to ask you about TikTok. Basically, how can SFMs like use TikTok to their advantage? Like, I know you touched on Leah just now. Just like, what other good examples have you seen out there?
Definitely. You know, people are suckers for like those satisfying videos. Like, I catch myself watching them all the time where it's just the dumbest thing. Like somebody like cutting, you know, a piece of clay or somebody just like, I will watch people clean their homes. Like, you know, you never know what's going to resonate with somebody, but I do know that people love painting videos. Like, especially, you know, if you don't have any concept of what goes on behind the scenes, and then you see somebody painting a logo that, you know, that you saw on the Super Bowl or something, like, that's going to reach audience members. So I think TikTok is, you know, right for that. Like, those satisfying videos, or just the behind the scenes videos where it's like, you know, come with me for a day in the life of prepping for a game day, or, you know, here's what a field renovation looks like from behind the scenes, or this is why we use this piece of equipment, or, you know, really those, I personally, I think, you know, people say like, oh, our attention spans are shorter and shorter, and TikTok is, you know, the worst place in the world for that. But I do find myself watching like the longer form videos on there. I think they're up to like 3 minutes now or something.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 10 minutes now, I think. So
yeah, I do think I will say I haven't watched any 10 minutes, but yeah, same. the
I usually 3 minute go on YouTube mark, for that. So
yep, exactly. But like, we've started to make, you know, like these learn center topics, and it would be for somebody that first day on the job, they're handed a new striper, they have no idea, they've never worked with this piece of equipment, like, how do I get this thing turned on, how do I properly, you know, have my paint run through it, how do I clean it, like simple things like that. For like SFM, you know, sports field managers that aren't out here as, you know, as pioneer, we want to be like a thought leader in a sense and give people learn center topics. But for sports field managers, again, whatever you feel passionate about, if you think that people would really love to watch you cut grass once a week, or paint, or just the camaraderie between your crew, or silly things that you guys do in the shop, like whatever feels authentic, whatever you have the passion for, you know, putting it out there and seeing how people react, definitely no harm done, in my opinion.
I know I've started using LinkedIn a whole lot more, like just personally. How can SFMs use LinkedIn to especially reach new hires, interns, college, high school age kids, you know, all those people?
Definitely. I think LinkedIn, you know, that's a personal goal we have here, is to also, you know, kind of revamp ours, because I think at one point it was like the go-to place for career advancement. And then it kind of, I would say maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, it kind of became like an additional social media platform in a sense, where people were just on there like, here's my morning routine, or here's, you know, I think of just like Gary V, like it was just flooded with like Gary V type content. I do think it's getting back to its roots in a sense, and being more about career advancement. And I think that, you know, if you are looking to recruit talent, think about somebody looking at a job title or your job posting. And then if they go and look up your LinkedIn profile, or they go and look up the company's LinkedIn profile, what are they going to find? And create content based on that perspective. So if you want somebody to know what the job is really going to entail, or you want somebody to know that you and your crew have this great camaraderie, put that on LinkedIn and reflect that. And then as far as, you know, getting people to even see your job posting in the first place, that's all about just making connections. And you never know where those connections can lead you. You know, you might think like, oh, you know, following a bunch of people that I, you know, was in a class in college with, like, that's not going to do me any good. But you never know, like, they might have kids now, or they might have like a next door neighbor that, you know, really loves the outdoors and dabbled in landscape. You never know what those connections can bring you. So just creating, again, a community on there and utilizing it for recruiting is a great avenue to take.
And on that front, like, how can SFMs use social media to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, otherwise known as DEI?
Definitely. You know, I think something that's really cool about that opportunity is if you're doing it within your organization and it's something that comes natural to you guys, then you can reflect that on social media and people are going to see that it's an authentic effort, or it's something that your company takes seriously. If you're going about it in a sense like, oh, look at us, we're so great, and, you know, we scraped the bottom of the barrel to come up with this, but like, people are going to pick up on that. So it has to be something that you're actually doing, you're actually passionate about, you are, you know, doing it in an authentic sense, and people will, you know, gravitate towards that. I think about our Women in Turf movement, and how authentic we and how organically we gained, you know, followers for this movement, and the amount of opportunities and the amount of people that we have connected with just because we simply posted about what we were doing. You know, it wasn't this, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't like this curated machine, or it wasn't this like elaborate strategy to highlight anything. It was really a reflection of something that we were passionate about, something that we were actually doing, something that, you know, was authentic out in the industry, and people gravitated towards it, loved it. Like, that platform and that movement like grew so organically, unlike anything I've ever seen. So again, I think it has to come from a place where you're actually, you know, passionate and sincere about those efforts, and people will gravitate towards that. And, you know, if you aren't coming from like a company standpoint and you don't have, you know, specific things that you can reflect in your own organizations, but it's something you're passionate about, building up other people that are talking about it. If you see an article about a groundskeeper that's, you know, the first person on that crew to do something, like, it just engaging with that content and building it up is just as helpful as posting about it yourself.
All right, good stuff. I think that's all I got for you. Where can people follow you on social media, Meg?
Yeah, thank you. I will always plug myself because that's that's a branding tip 101. So you can find me on Turf Twitter at Meg Kruger _ or Pioneer Athletic on Twitter. And I also am the ghost behind the Women in Turf page on Twitter. And then we have, you know, presence on Facebook, on Instagram, things like that as well. But if you really want the bread and butter of what we've got going on, Turf Twitter is where to find me. Like I said, Meg Kruger _. And I like to term myself as the groundskeeper's unofficial publicist. So if you have anything you want to send my way, or any way you want to get involved, or if you want to be a guest on our podcast, The Groundskeeper Chats, send me a DM, shoot me an email at mkruger@pioneerathletics, and we could get connected.
All right. Thanks, Meg. Thanks again to Meg Kruger for joining me on this episode of Sports Field Management Podcast. And thank you for listening. Be sure to check out our other episodes via Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. So long.